Downing. Right, the next matter on the court's document is Green versus Comwell. Good morning, sir. Mr. Carrico, how much time would you like to reserve for rebuttal?
Well, I'd like to reserve 5 minutes.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Brian Carrico here on behalf of Michael Green. Your Honor, this case, the primary issue of this case is the finality of judgments and at what point a period of suspension ends and a circuit court loses jurisdiction. I believe the case law from this court, particularly Heartless and a few cases interpreting that, are clear that when there's a good behavior period set in a court order, that sets the period of suspension. Once that period of suspension lapses, the circuit court then loses jurisdiction. In this case, the court order stated that the time was to be suspended, conditioned on a period of 10 years of good behavior. That period started at the date of sentencing because the sentencing order itself did not specify otherwise, and that period lapsed in 2003. None of the issues brought up in the violation occurred prior to 2003. It was all after his release in 2014, well after the good behavior period lapsed, and again, well after the period of suspension lapsed. The Commonwealth relies on a few cases that deal with the start of a period of suspension, particularly Collins, Coffey, and Palmer, were all cases where a court order clearly stated that the suspension was conditioned on a period of good behavior to begin upon the defendant's release. In those cases, for various reasons, the defendant was out, was not held for some period, or had some violation prior to release. In Palmer, the violation occurred while the defendant was still incarcerated. In Coffey, there was a separate charge to which the defendant had been sentenced on. He was paroled, and it was in that period of parole prior to serving the completion of his sentence on the other charge. And on Collins, the defendant was out on bond, on an appeal bond, while his case was still pending appeal when the violation occurred. Those cases dealt with a situation where the court order clearly stated that the good behavior was to begin upon release, and this court found that in each of those cases found that even though the order stated that it only began upon release, that actually tracks back. But that's not the issue in this case. It's not an issue of something occurring before a good behavior period starts. This is a case where that the violative behavior occurs after the good behavior period and the period of suspension. I believe this court and the Virginia Supreme Court have been clear that a court speaks through its orders. The order in this case is clear that the good behavior is 10 years beginning upon the date of conviction. But if the court would like to look a little deeper in the plea agreement, which was included in the joint appendix, it states that the suspended time is suspended for a period of 10 years. I believe that clearly establishes that the period of suspension in this case was 10 years starting at the date of sentencing. While there were some intervening events, which led to Mr. Green's further incarceration beyond that good behavior, I don't believe that is enough to effectively extend the period of suspension that was contemplated in that plea agreement and contemplated in the court's order from 1993. As there are certainly statutory provisions which allow other definitions for where the period of suspension runs under Rule 306, it does allow if no period of suspension is
stipulated. Wasn't Mr. Green on probation after he left prison?
Yeah, he was released in 2014. He was then placed on probation and parole. He received.
Does that have any implication for the argument this morning?
I don't believe it does for two reasons. For one, I don't believe we can expect Mr. Green to understand when he is properly or improperly being placed on probation. And if he is improperly placed on probation, I don't believe that that's sufficient to artificially extend.
Assuming he was properly put on probation, would that affect your argument in any respect? If he hypothetically had been properly put on probation by court order or whatever it would entail, would that affect your argument?
If there had been some amendment made to that order, some proper amendment during the period of suspension to allow for the suspension period to extend beyond his release,
what's missing? What are you saying is not? It would have been needed to put him on probation properly.
If the order, instead of simply stating he is to be placed, the suspension is conditioned on a period of 10 years of good behavior. Period. If it had then added the simple words of 10 years of good behavior beginning upon his release from confinement, that would have allowed for him to be properly placed on probation.
Can the court order probation beyond the term of suspension? Can the court suspend the sentence for 5 years in order that you be on probation for a period of 10 years?
No, Your Honor. I believe Hartless is clear that a period of probation cannot extend beyond the period of suspension.
Here, the order specifically, the order is somewhat ambiguous. It says that it places them on probation for a period of suspension for such time as the court deems appropriate, language similar to that.
Yes, Your Honor. And in Hartless, I believe the court was looking at similar language where he was placed on the suspended time was conditioned on 1 year of good behavior and indefinite supervised probation. And this court in Hartless stated that the indefinite supervised probation was improper to the extent that it could extend beyond the period of suspension as established by the good behavior period.
Are you aware of what the practice is currently, i.e., are you seeing courts impose a period of suspension?
Yes, Your Honor.
A specific period of time followed by probation?
Your Honor, most of the cases that I have seen, whether it's a plea agreement or through the courts, have had a period of suspension with good behavior to begin upon release. And as I stated, I believe that would resolve this issue, but that's not the way that the court structured the sentence in this order.
So upon release, does probation follow automatically?
Your Honor, the order also typically lists supervised probation for an indefinite period, which using this court's ruling in Hartless, it does not extend beyond whatever that good behavior period upon release lists. And, Your Honor, this is a somewhat peculiar case because he did end up with a good behavior period that was shorter than the ultimate sentence he served. However, at the time that this sentence was entered, this sentence was the only sentence he had received. So under this sentence, he would have served his year. I'm not certain how much time he'd served pre-sentence that he'd get credit for, but he would have been released after serving that year. And there's still, under this order, would have been 9 years and some change where he would have been under the good behavior. It was only once there were new convictions, which came in 94, a year later, that he then was facing sentences that kept him incarcerated beyond the good behavior period. And no corrective action was taken during the period of suspension to account for that change in circumstances after the conviction. Again, I think there would have been mechanisms that the Commonwealth could have used while the period of suspension was active and while the Circuit Court did have active jurisdiction over this case. But that active jurisdiction lapsed in 2003 after the 10-year period of suspension as defined by the good behavior ran out. So with that, I will reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Counselor. Ms. Darren?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I think the issue in this case is very narrow, and that is whether the Court's order fixed two periods, one of good behavior and the second initiating upon the defendant's release from incarceration.
Ms. Darin, I hate to interrupt you so early, but if a court speaks through its orders and following your argument about two specific periods, if we're looking at the period of probation, the court's not affixed any time.
Well, the order says upon the defendant's release from confinement, he is to be placed on active supervised probation for the term of suspension, which was 9 years.
Which is run, but that would have run by the time he's released, correct?
Well,
and there's no specific period of time for which he's placed on active probation.
I think that if that is the court's interpretation, then the trial court's obvious intent to put the defendant on active supervised probation would be thwarted. And it's our position that inartfully drafted, the court ordered a term of confinement, suspending a term of 10 years, suspending 9 years upon condition of good behavior. That's the first prong, the first period. And then the second period would be that upon his release, that he serve active supervised probation for the suspension period or or a period of time deemed appropriate by the court.
Do you agree that the period of suspension began upon pronouncement?
Do I agree that the period of good behavior...
The period of suspension. The sentence was suspended for a period of 10 years. Did that begin upon pronouncement?
Are you talking about the first...
I'm talking about the period of suspension, not the probation at all.
I believe that in order to give the court's order any semblance of meaning, then the court, again, intended for the defendant to...
I'm not talking about what he intended. Now, the language is the court suspends the execution of 9 years for a period of the 10-year sentence on condition the defendant keep the peace, be of good behavior, et cetera, for a period of 10 years.
Yes, Your Honor.
If 2 days later he'd robbed the bank, would he be in violation of that suspended sentence?
Not of the first part, but he had been released at that point, and so our position is...
So if he committed a crime while in prison, he would not be in violation of the suspended sentence?
If he had committed a crime while in prison during the first period that exceeded the 9-year period, then he wouldn't be in violation of that.
Let me move to my second part of the question then. Do you agree that the period of probation cannot exceed the period of suspended sentence?
Yes, we agree.
We're in agreement on that one.
Yes,
okay.
We agree
so
on that.
So the only question here is when did this period of suspension commence?
Correct. Exactly, and our position is that the trial judge intended for there to be an active period of supervised probation upon the defendant's release from incarceration. And if the court agrees with other counsel that the trial court's intent for active supervised probation upon release would be nullified, and that in turn thwarts the liberal construction afforded to these statutes regarding sentence suspension and probation.
When a trial judge enters an order that is inconsistent or at least silent on his intent, his or her intent, is it incumbent upon that trial judge to enter a subsequent order to clarify the original in order for us to conclude what his intent actually was?
Perhaps, but I don't believe we have that situation in this case.
Well, we clearly don't. That's why I asked the question.
If there are no further questions,
how long, that... Yes, I have, just to be sure. How long was the period of probation? How long was he put on probation, active?
The period of probation, the language of that part of the order says, for the term, excuse me, Your Honor, for the term of suspension.
I know what the language is, but what does that come to?
9 years.
It comes to 9 years after he already served nine. He served 9 years in prison while he was under the order of being of good behavior?
Our position is there are two periods, as in Coffey and in Collins, there are two periods here.
No, I understood. I think the other way you could look at it, he was on a probation for maybe 9 months. When you calculate how long he was in prison, together with the good behavior condition, it's possible you just subtract out period of good behavior from the entire length of suspension. And that's what I was trying to clarify. Your view is the period of suspension is the period that the court said he was on suspension, 10 years.
Well, he violated very quickly after going on to probation. So
I just don't know how long. I know how long the period of suspension was ordered by the court. It was 10 years.
Well, I would say under your thinking, then.
I'm not thinking at all. I'm just trying to figure out how long was he on probation.
Well,
the way I read it says
the period of the term of suspension.
Which was
9 years.
Yeah, okay. Understood. But it could be, could it not be read also as whatever was left?
Well, if you happen to read it, if the court reads it that way, and certainly the court's under an obligation to affirm the judgment on any basis supported by the record. So if the court were to look at it that way, then our position would be, and I'm sorry, I don't have the, I know that the dates for when he was put on probation and when he violated are in the record. And so if he violated within that time frame, then that would also support the trial court's position. So for those reasons, we ask that the court affirm the judgment. Thank you.
Counsel? Go ahead, Counsel.
There's a few points that I would like to respond to. For one, the Commonwealth discusses the obvious intent. A court speaks through its orders. This court, the Supreme Court, I believe every court in this country has been clear that a court speaks through its orders. The order in this case stated that he was to be on good behavior for 10 years. It stopped there. That sets the period of suspension. The Commonwealth discusses two periods. That was a discussion in Coffey and I believe in Collins as well. However, the two periods that they were looking at was effectively two periods of good behavior, where a court had issued a sentence stating 10 years of good behavior to begin upon release. This court, I believe the Supreme Court of Virginia in Coffey stated that was one period of good behavior the court set. The other period, the second period that the Commonwealth alludes to, is a period between sentencing and release. This is not the same situation. The period of good behavior was not set to begin upon release. The court order does not state that, so the good behavior period begins to run at the date of conviction.
You don't see anything in case law that would suggest that the condition of being of good behavior is implicit, is included without stating in a period of probation?
Your Honor, I believe this court has covered that by stating that the period of probation cannot extend beyond the period of suspension, which is defined by the good behavior period.
But it's never said you cannot be on probation if you don't have a condition of good behavior. Isn't it not implicit in the disposition? And it goes back to practice.
Your Honor, I don't believe it's implicit. Again, okay. If we go back, if we look at the original intent of this order, it was that he serve 1 year, be released after that year, and have 9 years in change on good behavior and under the supervision of probation for however long within that good behavior period that the court and probation deemed appropriate. That intent certainly was thwarted once he received new convictions in 94, for which he received, I believe it was about 46 years. That certainly meant that he was going to be incarcerated beyond the good behavior period. And if the court wanted to ensure that he would be placed on supervised probation whenever he's released with that 46-year sentence, I believe, as Your Honor, Judge Petty alluded to, I believe it's incumbent upon the court to issue a clarifying order, to modify its order while it still has the active jurisdiction under the good behavior period. The other issue I have with the Commonwealth suggested two periods defined in this is it creates a bizarre circumstance in this case where the circuit court would lose jurisdiction after the 10 years of good behavior lapse in 2003, and then in 2014, once he's released and put on probation, the circuit court would regain jurisdiction. And I think that setting that mechanism up would undermine the idea of finality of judgments and would create substantial issues.
So is it arguable that the court's jurisdiction would continue for the period of time before and through the actual implementation of active probation? Because it's a standing order that is out there that has validity and effect. It's not been obviated, hasn't been changed.
There is a court order in effect, you're correct, and a violation of probation. There may be some issue with a contempt of a court order, but the period of suspension for that 9-year sentence was set by the good behavior period and lapsed in 2003. And that's what this case was brought as a violation of that suspension. And based on that, the period of suspension had lapsed in 2003, none of the events listed in the violation occurred prior to his release in 2014, and no order was entered extending the period of suspension while the court had active jurisdiction. At this time, the Circuit Court of Stafford did not have jurisdiction over the suspended time. So I ask this court to reverse the ruling of the Stafford Circuit Court and dismiss this violation. Thank you.